Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second hour of the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show. And I'm so excited about our next guest, who I know a little bit firsthand, but I've really gotten to know in the last 24 hours. I read his book. I watched a lot of YouTube videos. And it's not often that I get to research, read, know, spend time with somebody that's crazier than me. But I think I finally achieved this. Anybody that writes a book called Shit the Moon Said, you know, is going to be a little offbeat. But here's the amazing thing about our next guest, Jerry Powell. First of all, he grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Rough childhood, tough father, didn't even finish high school. And by the time his 20s were over, he was a multimillionaire. And like a lot of dot-com guys, he was very wealthy one day and flat broke the next. And the amazing thing about Jerry, without that education, he's so street smart that he was able to create another business in not too much more time, maybe in 10 years or so, and be able to sell that for almost $100 million. Now, let me ask you folks, if you sold your business for $100 million, you think you could spend the rest of your days in peace, love, joy, and happiness? Probably. But Jerry, that's what I love about him. Jerry found a way to become very, very crazy through the use of drugs, alcohol, sex, and God knows what else. But what I love about him is his transparency, his authenticity, because he's not afraid to tell you, man, I was a jerk, I was an asshole, my life sucked, and most importantly, I was sad. And in researching and reading the book and researching, listening to him speak in the last few days, I think he's hit the magic formula of why we get sad and what happens and how our life gets off track. And now he's running this amazing facility in Costa Rica called Rhythmia. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the plant medicine. And I'm going to ask him just to share a little bit of his story real quick. But I want to talk about something very, very powerful that I learned in listening to Jerry. And you know, we had Marsha Weider on last week, and she talked a little bit about the thing. And it's how that, you know, in those first 5-6 years of our life, we get wounded, you know. And in Jerry's case, it was a pretty severe wound, probably one of the most severe. But for some people, it might just be called late for dinner. And we get this wound, and now we change identities, and we get away from our essence, our soul, our power, our truth, and we create an ego-based identity, which is just a bunch of stories, but it protects our soul. But it's not until we can come back to our soul that we can find truth. So Jerry, welcome to the show. I hate to give you such a heavy topic right off the beginning, but man, you are so deep in this, and I want our audience to really get this part. Welcome.
Thanks, Mike. You know, it's always a pleasure talking to you. You're so similar. Our backgrounds are so similar. Our lives are we're similar. You did better than me, but
I don't know
the
about
same it. Kind of struggle, I believe. And it's just always nice, you know, to speak to someone who's honest and has integrity and isn't afraid to tell their truth. That life's too short to not tell the truth if someone else can benefit from your own mistake. It's just too short. Yeah.
Amen. So tell us now. So, okay, let's start. Let's look. So you're a mess. Okay. And you're drinking a lot. You're on drugs. You're unhappy. You're sad. And someone tells you about plant medicine. And I remember you're like in the Philippines, you're going to fly to LAX. You're going to change luggage. You're going to go to Costa Rica. And now you land and there's the big tall guy with the Big Mac. Take it from there.
So I met this guy who I joke about, but was the key component of saving my life, you know. But he was a funny cat. He's not a normal guy. And I met him, and I just thought he was full of shit, and I was scared of him. And he was bigger than me, and he was super loud and a strong guy, and I already felt like intimidated by him, and I didn't like him, but I did almost whatever he said. It was a funny thing, and he had a funny accent, and he was can I curse in your show? Is it cursing or no cursing?
It's okay with me. Cap, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was actually pissed off because I thought this guy was going to rip me off, you know, and you know this. I didn't even research the medicine. I was so drunk in the Philippines that I did this on somebody's say so, that they said this would fix me.
And, because you were so desperate, Jerry?
I was desperate. And I had a strange way of overcompensating. I would just be louder than anybody else. And that, for some reason, I don't know, all of us find a way, you know, and I was trying to convince myself of something. I don't know. But I was a loud drunk, which is not too becoming, you know what that is, and how embarrassing it is and all everything else. Yeah? But that was me. And so I came over to, I did what this woman said. And what's so crazy is she just texted me 2 or 3 days ago. She wants to come over and go to this, our center.
Cool.
But she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, a green-eyed Italian, gorgeous woman. And she told me, go to this place. It's a friend of mine went there and he was as bad as you, which I didn't believe, but she said he was as bad as you. And it turned him around in a week. And I first told her no. And she said, if you don't go, you're going to kill yourself. And I had just told my therapist the same thing. So she was right. So I said, fuck it, I'll go. And I was so drunk and everything. I didn't research Iboga. I didn't research the guy. I just went to the website with her and I saw his face. I saw his face, but I didn't remember it. And saw the place, and the place looked like a shitty Costa Rican place. And I went, and when I showed up and I saw this guy was fucking standing there eating the Big Mac. The place was $2,000 a day. He was standing there eating the Big Mac, and the juices were dripping on his tummy of the Big Mac. And I thought, what kind of driver would the place for $2,000 a day send me? You know, usually a guy cleaned up and a cox, like whatever, you know what I mean? And $14,000 a week, you know, hey. Right. So we got to talking and the guy
turns out he wasn't your driver, right?
He wasn't my driver. It was my shaman. And I was scared to death. This fucking guy he was just the most unique human I've ever met.
And by the way, folks, I don't mean to interrupt, but Jerry mentioned Iboga. Iboga is a plant medicine that this particular shaman would use to break people, their patterns, and create a new person. And so that's not the plant medicine that Jerry uses, arrhythmia, that's ayahuasca. But he started with Iboga. So here he is with this crazy tall shaman guy who's eating a Big Mac, and now he's drunk, and now they're going to go on this journey, right?
Yeah, and he takes me back to the place, and the place was a shithole, Mike. I swear to you, you wouldn't stay there. My being drunk helped with my ability to stay there.
Or you might have left.
If I was ever sober, I would have been fucking gone. It was dirty and just run down, and the place was really a shithole. It was terrible. And I remember I went outside to lay down because it was too dirty to lay down inside. And I laid down outside on the grass, and I fell asleep. And I woke up and it was dusk, and someone came to get me and they said, Muganda wants to see you in the temple. And I thought, well, that's good news. At least there's a temple in this shithole, right? And they walked me into a 3-car garage that had bamboo on the walls and on the ceiling. There's an open campfire in the middle of it. And I'm not like a fireman, but I knew that shit wasn't right. You know, like there was not how to do that. You know? And I just couldn't go. But the guy made me take the medicine, and I took it, and I laid down, and I was actually writing American Express a letter of how to get my money back. That's what I was doing when I was laying down. I was thinking, I'm gonna tell them they came to get me, how he was dressed. Like I'm writing this letter. And for some reason, I see a cat out of the corner of my eye in a vision.
You're blindfolded, correct?
Blindfolded.
So you saw that in your mind's eye.
Yeah, I saw it in my mind's eye. And then I saw a tiger, a lion, actually. No, a tiger. I raised my hand and I said, I got a tiger here. And then the guy came over, McGinnis came over, he started tapping on my forehead with the blindfold on. And I thought, what is this lunatic fucking doing, right? And he said, tell me when you see my finger. And I'm like, how can I see a finger? I have a have a freaking blindfold on. And he said, sooner I said that, then I see this guy's finger. And not only do I see his finger hitting me, I see a wave of energy every time he hits me. So I was like, what is going on? I'm a Catholic. I'm a fucking Irish Catholic. I never saw anything. I was smashed to where like my blood was pure alcohol and I never saw anything that I couldn't explain, you know, never in my life. And I was witnessing this and I thought, what's going on? And he told me, he said, how many fingers do I have up? And he held up three fingers and sure as shit, just like this, I saw the three fingers and I'm like, three. And he said, okay, look at the ceiling and make it disappear. And I looked at the ceiling and I made it disappear. And there's a bunch of stars. And I picked a star and he made me fly to it. Then he yelled, stop. And he said, look to your left. And he said, do you see the moon? And I did. And I figured, this fucking guy knows his shit, right? He knows where everything is in the universe, all this shit. And I looked and I saw the moon and I flew to it. And I hit the moon. And then I got a screen of a live video feed of the moon in a cursor, a computer cursor. And he said, start asking your questions.
Let me ask you a question. While you're doing this unbelievable journey, you can see through your mind's eye with this blindfold on, you're seeing the sky, you made the roof disappear, you're grabbing a star, you're heading into the moon, you dive into the moon. What were you feeling physically? You know, I know mentally you're on this huge trip, but physically, what was going on with you?
I was so high that I don't even know if I even felt my body during that time. I know that in the beginning I started feeling like hot and restricted in my neck a little bit, hot.
But at this point, you're out of your body. You're just full speed going.
Yeah, somewhere else. You know, somewhere else, you know?
I'm with you. So now you're at the moon, and the moon communicates by typing like a typewriter.
Like a typewriter, just like a typewriter. And he made me ask my first question to the moon. And I asked her why I was such an asshole. That was the you have 10 questions written out. And the most important.
So prior to the ceremony, you'd given the shaman 10 questions that you wanted to ask spirit.
Yeah.
And you were on this journey.
Yep. And, gotcha. and my first question, which was the most important one to me, was why was I such an asshole? Why am I such an asshole? And she typed out, I can't tell you until you go get your soul. And I didn't even know what the fuck that even means, right? So I'm like, Mugen is in there. And he said, what'd she say? And I said, it says she can't tell me until I go get my soul. And then he made me fly home. I flew from the moon back to Malibu and went in my house. And he said, go find you. And I found me sitting at my desk where I'm always sitting in my bedroom, same shit, looking at a computer, just like every day, everyday life. And he said, you know, go tell you that you need help. You know, go tell me you need help. So I'm like, dude, you know, I need help. And the me wouldn't even make eye contact with me, wouldn't even make eye contact with me. And so this went on for 43 minutes of me trying to make this me look at me. And finally, McGinnis said, poke him. So I poked him. And the me looked at me and said, I wouldn't help you if you're the last guy on earth. He said, you're a liar. You're a con man. You're a wife beater. You hate women. You broke every promise you ever made to me and to anybody else. You're worthless, is what it has said to me. You know, and I felt terrible. You know, I felt like that was over. The whole thing was over. Then, you know, and then Mugen said, "Beg him," and I begged him, and then he said, "Okay, I'll help you, but you got to make me two promises. You have to bring me with you everywhere you go for the rest of your life, and you have to run every decision you're ever going to make by me." And if we're in conflict, you have to side with me. And it was the roughest deal I ever heard in my life. You know, like I didn't like, but I wanted to live. And I really thought about it, Mike, and I thought, you know, as uncomfortable as this is, if I don't do it, I'm probably going to die. So fuck it.
Did you, at the time, did you sense this was a big moment in your life, a defining moment that you needed to get that Jerry with the soul intact back into this Jerry?
Yeah, I knew that it was a forever fucking thing. It's like in the joining the mafia. Like it was in that moment that I knew in my head that that I'm fucked if I don't do it. And if I do do it, I can't get out of it. So I felt the pressure of a term, like a forever decision upon me, you know?
And, so you were fully engaged. You knew this was a serious big moment for the rest of your life.
I either thought I was going to die in that moment or
get your soul back.
Go on with this, with company, you know? And, and I really thought about it because my life was so bad. And it looked so good, but it was so bad. It was so, so, so bad that I was thinking, you know, fuck it. I'm better off dead. That was part of my thought, was that I'm just better off staying here, wherever this is, you know?
And, and what's interesting, how many people in your life were comparing their insides to your outside. Here's this guy, 80 million bucks in the bank, house in Malibu, all these cars, wife, kids, perfect life. Well, you're dying inside, and they feel just a little sadness inside looking at your life, saying, and they're comparing their insides, the way we feel inside, to this guy outside, and we get all screwed up, don't we?
Dude, it's the worst thing. And the thing is this, half the people who are looking up to me, I was in awe of their simple fucking good life.
Yeah, their happiness.
Their happiness, as in all of their happiness, you know? They were going to soccer games, I was missing. They were playing with their kids, I was playing with some fucking woman. Like, just bad, it was sad.
So Jerry, so the Jerry with the at the desk with the soul intact joins Jerry, the guy that's been living without the soul, sad and miserable. What happens then?
Then this he makes me fucking shake his hand. He knew if he didn't get a handshake, that I would wiggle. You know what I mean? That I would look for a technical out, as they say.
You'd pull a Jerry somewhere down the road.
Yeah, you know, like I would wiggle out of it, right? So he made me shake his hand, and I really shook his hand. I shook his hand. And then he walked with me to the deck. And by the time we got to the deck, he was a three-year-old little boy. A little boy.
Wow. And
then he jumped, and I jumped with him, and we flew again. And we went... We went back in time, and we went to a house I hadn't seen in 40, I would say, let me think about that. 48. I've been a house I haven't seen in 40 years.
Wow.
And 40 some years, 42 or 43 years. And we landed at this house, and it's my grandfather's house. And, but I was really there. When you talk to people about this, they think that you're talking about watching something or a cartoon. I'm telling you, I was.
But you really experienced as if there is no time and space. You were there again, in that home again.
I was in that home in the 1960s. I was in there. I was in that home. Right. And the thing was, everybody in the house was, the door opened and there was a big party going on. Everybody in the house had been dead. I haven't seen any of them in 15 or 20 years. They're all dead.
Wow.
And they're all partying and smoking cigarettes and drinking, and Bing Crosby White Christmas is playing, and I smell pine needles and ham and turkey and it's fucking Christmas, right? It's Christmas, and
now you're with little small Jerry,
I'm with this soul intact,
and there you are,
and he's walking me through the place, and we get to this door of a broom closet. And out east, there's these broom closets that have a set of steps going up this side, and closet opens this way, and you put in winter coats and shovels and shit like that. And I mean, vacuum cleaners and things from brooms. And he wanted me to open the door, and I didn't want to open the door. But when I did, I was me and the little boy outside. There was a mirror of that little boy in the closet. My grandfather was in the closet. He was stone cold, off his ass drunk, and sexually assaulting the boy in there. And wow. And I just couldn't, I couldn't, I guess there's not words for the shock of seeing that. Yeah. Seeing
and up it, to this point in your adult life, you had no, you'd blocked this event out. There was no recollection. In
I
you.
Couldn't remember, Mike, the last thing I remember, the first memory that I had is somewhere around fifth or sixth grade. Crazy. Mm. A real memory of something. Right. You know?
Yep. I get it.
Yeah. And when I saw it, I was, well, it's, if you see it happen to someone else, your heart stops.
Yeah.
Like I've never seen anything like that. And yeah. I watched it and it was fucking me. And I was like, what am I? Well, I don't, and I said something out loud. I said, that didn't happen. And sometimes when you're on the medicines, you know, you speak in your spirit voice and sometimes use your mouth. I used my mouth and again, I said, what didn't happen? Mm. I said, I'm watching this kid, me, get sexually assaulted by my grandfather. And I know it didn't fucking happen. And he said, call your dad. And I said, Muganda, my dad's been dead for 6 years, you know? And he said, just call him. Wow. So I stood there and I said, dad, and no shit, my father appeared right next to me. And I just said, hey, this didn't happen. And my dad looked at me, went with kind of an astonished face, like, how the fuck don't you know? And he said, don't think you're so special. So it happened to my dad, it happened to me. Mm. It was the way shit went in our family. Mm. And nobody ever spoke about it. Nobody, I don't even know. When I confronted my mother and I said, and she said, you know what, Jer, I always thought something like it's the craziest thing, you know, like.
Wow.
Crazy.
You know what just popped into my mind? You know, Pennsylvania, Jerry Sandusky, all, you know, maybe that's a hotbed for that type of activity there. You know what I mean?
Jerry's too. Lots of Jerry's in there. You know?
So here you are. Now, so this is devastating, obviously. And now you're under the influence of the plant medicine. Thank God you have this amazing shaman next to you guiding you. And you have this amazing moon talking to you. But then something very, very dramatic happened. And, you know, I've been studying whether we actually landed on the moon, whether it was a hoax. Now you're there. And but not only are you on the moon, you get the first heart transplant ever done on the moon. So tell our listeners that story.
That's the truth. So after this all got done, and the moon answered my question. I wanted to see why I was such an asshole. She showed me point blank. This is why. This is why you're an asshole. And you know what it did? Mike, in the beginning, I was super, super sad, like sad. Like, and then it went from sad to fuck, that explains everything. That explains why I don't trust dudes.
Yeah.
That explains why I'm crazy sex-wise.
Yeah.
That explains why I don't like women. I don't fucking trust anybody. Like, just explained everything.
Yeah.
And then later on, she answered all my questions and all this stuff. But at the end, she ended up wanting to help me, you know, to help me. And she pointed at my chest and I stuck my hands in my chest and I ripped out my own heart.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And I gave it to her. And it was a black piece of pumice stone. It was a black piece of stone. And I gave it to her. And she ended up giving me a brand new heart.
Wow.
And gave it to me, and I put it into my chest, and I honestly, that next day, I know it sounds crazy, that next day was the first day of my life. The first day of my life was the next day. Mm-hmm. I actually felt, I didn't know this, but I've been living, let me just think about it. I was 50, so I've been living 47 years without any feelings at all. None. Like, no feelings. Other than anger. That was the underlying kind of feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the next day
is stemming from fear, because that's what causes this whole event, was this fearful event where you left your soul, you started this new identity, so you're running fearfully through life, and of course it's going to lead to anger. You know, it cannot not lead to anger, right?
I would think so. Yeah. It did with me, you know?
Yeah.
And then I guess this, the whole And then in subsequent journeys, she explained that that happens to everybody, that you know, some people do it because they didn't get fed on time. Yeah. Some people do it because they got sexually assaulted. Some people were hit in the womb. Some people were yelled at in the womb. Like, but whatever, everybody finds a reason to do it. Find a reason to do it.
Let's do this. We got to take a quick break. And this is just fascinating to me. But when we come back, Jerry, now you've committed your life to helping others have the same breakthrough, the same miracle that you have. And I know you have an interesting take on miracles. And I know there's a lot of listeners out there that have felt that sadness, you know. And there's a lot of reasons to be sad today. I mean, a collective consciousness is crazy, you know. And I pick up on that. And I get sad. I mean, the world is going in the wrong direction. But you've committed the rest of your life and your resources to helping other people to have the same type of breakthrough. So when we come back, I want to talk a lot about Rhythmia, what you're doing down there, and how you're helping other people. And to summarize this, I made a little note, you know, but what I got out of your book and listening to you just now again is that, you know, somewhere between birth and age 5 or 6, we have this terrible, painful wound. And it usually comes from a loved one, like in your case and in my case. And then we break from our soul and we create a new soulless identity, i.e. called an ego, okay? And now we're fucked, okay? And until we hit such severe suffering that we go looking for our soul again. And generally that comes with a lot of people helping us. Helped in my case and in your case. Because I don't think we're ever going to get back to being whole again without help of others, which equals humility. And that's where it's got to start. So, folks, I'm so grateful to have Jerry on today. I can't wait to really explore Rhythmia, all the miracles that are taking place there, and how you can go and get your own very miracle. So we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Thanks. Welcome back, folks, to the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show. This is our second hour, and we only got 30 minutes left, and we have an amazing guest, Jerry Powell of Rhythmia. And this guy just blows my mind his story, you know, his story of success, his story of destruction, and now his story of redemption. And here's a guy that put his money where his mouth was. You know, he went to Costa Rica, had this amazing experience. He healed his life from drugs, addiction, alcohol addiction, and most importantly, just being a first-class asshole. And now he has a heart that's open to love and service and compassion and is helping thousands of people in the last 4 or 5 years since he opened this facility. So, Jerry, I want to talk about one thing before we get into Rhythmia. And there had to come a point in this journey with the shaman, the moon, the medicine, where you had to forgive somebody. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I had to forgive everybody, but it started with my grandfather, and that was the hardest one for me. It goes to the medicine heals by order of priority. So it goes to the biggest cog in the wheel, and it gets that. And it made me, it didn't make me. I got to see someone wretch. Now, I've never seen it in this existence here. You never see someone wretch. You see people cry, and you see people, but you never see wretching. And when I saw wretching, I automatically knew what it was.
Elaborate a little bit what you mean by that.
Wretching. It's so close to the biblical. I hate saying it, but there's this self-imposed hell of the loss of yourself and the not forgiveness of yourself that you cry and buckle up and whimper in a way that is beyond description. I don't care what. So I always say this to people at Rhythmia. I said, when I tell this story, I said, you know, if you watched me be sexually assaulted by my grandfather and watched him wretch a minute later, you would have felt bad for him.
Whoa.
Not for me.
Right, right.
The act of that compared to what wretching looks like. And I want to tell you, the greatest gift the medicine ever gave to me was the gift of a life, the review of a life that wasn't well lived. And I don't want that. I don't want, it's not hell. It's all self-imposed. It's worse than hell. There is no hell.
Let me ask you a question, because, you know, many spiritual teachings say we're going to have that event when we leave our body and we're before our creator, right? But what I'm hearing from you, much better to do it while we're still alive so we can make amends. And then when we get to that place, we're free, right?
You can do it. And the thing is this, is that it's not that your creator is doing it. It's that
you're doing it yourself.
Realize what you did.
Right.
And you put yourself through this thing, which is an act of redemption in a strange way. And he was crying, sorry. And Mugen said, he said, do you forgive him? And I couldn't watch it and not forgive him. You know, it's impossible. It's incongruous. Some part of you knows that there's a part of you
capable of the same thing,
you know? And you just said, I said, of course I forgive him. You know?
Yeah.
And
I think that's a line from one of your books or somewhere I saw it, a quote or something, that, you know, all good and all evil resides right inside of us in the same place.
Yeah.
Which one you're going to feed.
You and I are fucking living proof of the whole thing, right? We really are. This is the greatest thing. I don't get to speak to someone as great as me too often either. So
I feel you,
and I are living testimonial to this shit.
Yeah.
To the fact that redemption is real, that happiness exists, that there's a better way to live, that there's still beauty at any age, that everything you lost is given back to you. Yeah. It's all real, true shit. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So tell me about Rhythmia. So I'm a businessman, and prior to Rhythmia, you had many businesses. And I think I'm going to imagine Rhythmia is probably the only, I'm a car dealer, so we send out customer satisfaction surveys, the manufacturers, and everybody wants to know if everybody's happy. But I've never seen on any of these surveys, you just bought a Volkswagen from me, did you receive your miracle? But at Rhythmia, if I come down there to Rhythmia and I spend a week there, the number one question you're going to ask me when I leave, you survey, did I receive my miracle? Just explain that.
So, like in life, we believe, and I believe you do too, that either everything is a miracle or nothing's a miracle.
Exactly.
You know, but we're talking about a real specific kind of miracle. If everything is a miracle, and I believe it is, from the birth of a baby to bird flying to the fact that you and I are right here, right now, to me, it's all fucking, all boner shit.
Right.
So we believe in a particular type of miracle, and that's the miracle of a emergence with your soul. And to date, it's 92.57. So that's 952.7 out of 1,000 people say
find their soul. Yes,
they re-emerge with their soul. And that's crazy, crazy stuff. And the first year was only 85. That's inception to date. So lately it's 97%, 98%. So 2 or 3 people out of 100 miss it. And they're usually the first people to come back and to do it again, you know?
Because if we don't show up in the right state, we may have to come back, because we might still have those walls around our heart. And as powerful as Rhythmia is, as power as your shamans are, as power as the medicine, you might take another trip to break down the walls in my heart if I've been hurt that bad, right?
Very true. So true. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. So I'm going to come down there, let's say, and tell me what's going to happen. Someone's going to pick me up at the airport there in Liberia in Costa Rica, and I'm going to get to Rhythmia and just walk me through a week.
So you get to Rhythmia. The things that we offer is we offer like organic farm to table food. We offer yoga every day. We offer meditation every day. Then there's programmed classes. So on Monday, you go to 3 classes and you do your first journey Monday night. On Tuesday, you go to 3 classes, you do your second journey Tuesday night. On Wednesday, you go to the classes, you do your third journey Wednesday night. On Thursday, you go to the classes, you do the last journey, which is an all-night in the Colombian tradition where you drink yahay, and it goes all the way to the next morning. And then you have more classes, and then transformational breath work Friday and Saturday night. And then you leave Sunday, a a new person.
So did I just hear three ceremonies or four? Three ceremonies?
Four ceremonies and two breathwork ceremonies.
Okay. And so for those of people listening to us right now that don't know what ayahuasca is, they don't know what a ceremony is, share with a little bit about what the medicine is, where it comes from, how you do it, and then what that journey's like, what's going on in that room, how am I, my sitting laying, who's doing what to whom.
Right. So the medicine is two plants that are grown in the jungle in the Amazon basin that are mixed together in a very sacramental way. And they're blessed and mixed and cooked. And then they're served by shaman, and the shaman here are absolutely, in the past 3 years, the most experienced shaman in the world, because we serve more medicine than anywhere in the world. So these guys are doing the amount of ceremonies in a week that other people are doing in the 2 month period.
And by the way, let me add, and this, when I was there, this has been a few years now, but when I was there, this was the only medically approved center in the world where you can take this plant medicine legally. Is that correct? Is that still the case?
Yep. So
FYI, how it works historically, it's primarily a South America event, but I do believe they brought it to the North American Indians. But so in Colombia, for example, where I live, we have to have a Colombian Indian do this. That's the trained shaman from the jungle has to do this ceremony for it to be legal. But there where Jerry is, he's got a unique loophole that he can do that totally legally above board. And that's exciting too. So, okay. So we're doing, so here we are, I'm going to sit in this room with you, a shaman or two, 20, 30 other guests. And we, how much do we drink? And then what happens?
Yeah. You drink just a little bit, just like a shot glass.
Okay.
A shot of vodka or a shot of whatever. And within,
and this is basically bark from a tree that's been brewed for 3 days in the jungle with some flour placed into it with a lot of prayers and energy. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah. And and it has a very unique taste to it, and so maybe about 30 minutes later you might start getting a little hot and feeling some pains maybe in your body, maybe some diarrhea, maybe even a little nausea, and then something will happen where it'll become psychedelic. You'll see some sacred geometry. And then usually someone will come into your vision to consult you and say, you know, hi, Mike, you've been looking for me. What is it that you need? Here's what I want to show you. And they take us through a little bit of a life review and then probably point out some things that aren't probably going the way that they should, and help us with just knowingness. Like sometimes it's talking and sometimes it's just they leave us with knowing that they come to us with a dose of knowingness that, oh my God, I have my own answers. Uh-huh. So it works one of two different ways, you know, either way.
And this typically takes about how long?
Usually they get up there at 5:30 and they're done by 2:30 in the morning. And on Thursday nights, we get up there at 7:30 and we're done by about 9:30 in the morning.
So yeah. that's the big enchilada on Thursday.
Big enchilada.
So, and what I find fascinating in my experience, and you can shed your own experience onto this, that what I found is that, you know, first of all, folks, these are trees in the Amazon jungle where life force is just like on steroids. Okay. I mean, everything is just pulsating with electricity and energy, and these trees have been there forever. And that's why a lot of people see animals, you know, they'll see jaguars from the jungle. In your case, you saw a tiger. And so, or they might see a loved one that's passed on that will be there to mentor, or maybe even someone that's still alive. This will show up in spirit, which is possible. Souls for us, right? We can break our souls into little pieces and be in more than one place. That's the beauty. When we get into the spiritual life, we have a lot more power, and we're not limited by being in this animal body. You know, we're free. And but what I find fascinating in my experience is somehow the medicine knows what I need, and it just knows how to teach you in a way that you're going to get it. It's not like sitting in these friggin', you know, guardian angels elementary school for 6 hours every day, staring at the clock, waiting to get the hell out of there. You're actually learning something, and you're learning in so many ways that you'll never forget the lesson. Is that your experience?
100%. So the way she wrote it is that she speaks to you in the language that you understand. She speaks to you in your tongue. So some of us need to be taught visually, and some of us need to be beat up, and right. some of us need to be kissed. You know, like, we're all different, and we're different at different times. So the medicine will treat you one way today and one way tomorrow, because you're changing. You're a bunch of cells in motion. You're not a fixed thing, you know?
Exactly. So Jerry, how much does energy, vibration, frequency play a role in your life today, now that you're free of all this sadness and this addiction and this shitty life? How much does energy, vibration, frequency play a role? And how much does it play a role in the people you're serving there? When you see these breakthroughs, I'm going to imagine that you can see, like, from day one to day seven when they're leaving, just a huge shift in energy.
I see it. And the thing is, it's so beautiful, because for me, you know, she even gave me a number. The moon told me that it's 6,000 people I'm even.
How far you got to go?
I'm at 4,400 and change.
Folks, get down the arrhythmia quick, okay? It's only 1,400 more people, and the man will be free.
That's so crazy, but this is what I said. Wasn't that ridiculous?
Well, no, I heard you say last night that the medicine told you what to buy and what to pay for it.
What to pay for it. Yeah, she paid so many other things.
And by the way, folks, I think it was a former JW Marriott, your facility there.
Yeah, it was a flex space for the Marriott. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a big JW Marriott on the beach there, and about, you know, maybe 5 minutes from the beach, 10-minute walk from the beach is Jerry's facility, which is maybe feels to me like 50 different lodging type of hotel rooms, and I think they're duets. And so he can serve over 100 people. He's got a beautiful pool, a beautiful place where they do ceremony, beautiful place to get colonics, okay, and clean out the inside. The medicine will help you, but so will the staff. And just sitting by that pool, I met so many beautiful people. I had such a beautiful time there. Of course, Costa Rica is a beautiful country. So I really do, you know, not only to get Jerry to that 6,000 figure and save his soul, but to really go down there and save your own soul. And more importantly, you know, transform your heart and soul into the direction and find your true purpose, your true passion. Because, folks, I really believe that we all got to get together, and we have to join forces to change this collective consciousness in this world, and we need to take our power back. And I promise you, by taking this medicine and going through these journals, and these people are highly skilled, trained shamans. I mean, they start at 5 years old and they grow up in the Amazon. We're not playing around here. I mean, these people are groomed to do this, and they can see things in you that you can't see. They can see spirits. They can see entities. They can see into things, and they know exactly what to give you to heal you so you can have your miracle. So please get down to arrhythmia. Anything else, Jerry? What other benefits down there, Rhythmia? I can't sell it all.
I just, you know, it's so great, Mike, to see what happens with people in a week, that they can actually come in and leave a week later a different human, real different fucking human. Like, half of them go home and the dog bites them. You know, they're not even vibrating the same. You know, like, they don't even know who it is. You know, they're just different. We get to see it every week. We get to watch this every single week.
Yeah. And I found it interesting. I was listening to you last night, and you said that, you know, like 80% of your clientele is women. Is that still the case?
No, it was in the beginning, and it's coming closer to 60% okay. now.
And so this is my theory. So having, you know, been around the medicine a little bit, not nearly as much as you, but encourage friends, you know, to go and take it. I think guys have a control problem, and they're afraid to give up control, and they'll come up with the craziest freaking excuses why they can't do it. Right. But I've taken people just almost to the room, and they just can't cross into it because of fear. I'm sure you see that yourself.
Oh yeah, we absolutely do. We absolutely see it. It's crazy.
But I'll tell you, I was there, I think it's been about 2 years now, and I was meeting a friend there, a very wealthy guy from Palm Springs here, very successful guy, and, you know, he's got an open mind, but you could tell he's very nervous about doing this. And then I got delayed because I was coming from Columbia, and I didn't have some sort of fever shot or something, and I had to go through Miami, right? And so my friend shows up, and lo and behold, he took the medicine, and it changed everything about it. And when I got there and I'm walking around early in the morning at 7, he's just coming out of ceremony, a completely different person. Tell me how that happens.
I don't know how it happened. Like, this is the great mystery of it. You know, like, I watch guys, Mike, honestly, I watch guys that struggled with addictions and stuff for 20, 30 years and in and out of AA and going to tons of workshops and really fighting. And then they spend a couple nights in the Maloka and it's gone. It makes you think like, holy shit, we're doing everything the hard way.
Yeah.
And we're doing everything because there's an easy way, and the easy way is directly linked to nature. You know,
And I think you, like me, you know, we grew up in a time and place, America, 50s, 60s, with tough father, you know, that we're raised not to show feelings and we got to be strong and tough. But more importantly, the only definition we had for success was how much money we made, how many women we screwed, how much scotch we could drink, right? And what a bunch of bullshit. No wonder we ended up so screwed up, right? I mean, you know, so, you know, my motto is, you know, get as many women as I can and get as much money as I can, no matter how I got it, didn't matter, and just party, right? Yes. And what a bunch of bullshit. That's why we end up broken, and that's why we lose our soul, folks. We need to take this. You're going to think I'm crazy. I'm 61, but I'm considering having another child only because I want to raise this child the way a child should be raised and nurtured and taught the freaking truth. Okay. Yes. And it's not about material shit. It's about love and service and compassion and forgiveness and community. And that's the beautiful thing about Rhythmia, is the community. And this guy brings in great, you know, super authors and teachers, you know, Foster, Kimberly Gamble, Michael Beckwith, Bruce Lipton. I mean, big names. There's always a special guest there every week teaching Monday through Friday. Of course, Jerry's wandering around there, always available to talk to and hang out with. And I love your lifelong rehab doctor that follows you everywhere, Dr. Jeff, that was at Malibu Passages, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And is now down there doing a wonderful job working with you. I love what you guys do. I love your personality. I love your energy. The other thing is, tell me if you have any knowledge of this, but, you know, I work with women with cancer as well. And you know, I'm convinced, you know, and I shouldn't say stuff like this, but I'm convinced that the chemotherapy, the radiation, and the surgery, if it works, it's in spite of itself. It's just mind over matter, because that shit doesn't work, right? But as I study ayahuasca, I read I've read quite a few stories, maybe a dozen or so, where people, the doctor said, hey, man, sorry, we've done all we can do for you, or we've done all we can to you and gotten all your money. But sorry, you got to get your shit together and get your affairs in order. And they'll go down to South America and they'll do ayahuasca and they'll get healed. What do you have to say about that? How does that happen? And I think I heard you say something about a breast cancer woman that was healed there.
Yeah, we watched it happen during ceremony. But if I could tell you the truth, I really can't because it's a medical claim. But if I could tell you the truth, your head would fall off.
Right.
It's
right,
amazing what happens. And this is why, this is the thing that I believe. I believe that when you remerge with your soul, your body's perfectly designed to heal itself.
Yes. Yes.
It perpetually wants to survive.
Yes.
And all it has to do is get back in. Your soul gets back in. And guess what?
Yeah.
On fruits and vegetables, you're a new guy.
Yeah. And you will download the truth, the answers for you on how to heal. It will just show up. When I got to tell you, man, I mean, I bought your book a long time ago when it came out, but I didn't read it till yesterday. You know, you're right on the money, man. We are a bunch of wounded people that have taken on a new identity. It has nothing to do with who we really are. And they take our power from day one. Okay. I mean, how can you be born a sinner? What the hell were you doing in there for 9 months? Snorting coke and calling hookers, for Christ's sake? I mean, come on now. You know, so you're born this perfect thing. And depending on your nurturing, depending on your teaching, your programming, and who's doing what to you, is going to determine whether we have these deep wounds that we need to find our soul back. And I think that happens for most of us. And unfortunately, it comes through severe suffering. At least it did in my case. And I know it did in Jerry's case. And so, so if that's the way the system is, then let's get the suffering on and done and get the medicine. Because I promise you, you know, this medicine, if you won't need suffering to heal, it'll find a way to give it to you. But while you're suffering, you're going to feel, and tell me what you think about this, but this is my takeaway. You're going to feel the most immense love you've ever felt in your entire life.
In the world. In the world. The real thing.
I'm sitting on the toilet, doing what you do while you're sitting on the toilet, with my puke bucket in my hand, okay? Finally able to purge from like my toenails, the entire from my toenails to my crown chakra, boom, just fold up, filled up the toilet, filled up the bucket, and then I heard, like you're talking to me right now, you're healed.
And that beautiful stuff.
And I don't know, I know I had a lot of problems. I know I can't specify what they were, but I was healed. And this is what's going on at Rythmia. And Jerry, let me just, you know, toot your horn for a second and commend you. I know this hasn't been easy. I know. You know, but what I love about you, your balls are a lot bigger than your brains, thank God, right? And so, but your passion.
That's not saying much for my balls.
but you have this amazing passion, right? I mean, there might not be another person in the whole world that's going to go have this amazing, miraculous healing and then take his freaking money, put his money where his mouth is, do what the medicine did, buy this property, and now he lives there in the heart of it. And he's pouring his heart and soul out. And so you can go down there and heal. And you can go down there and reunite with your soul. And you can become a whole vibrant human being. So I really encourage you guys, go to rythmia.com. Check it out. Book your flight. Go down there. Tell Jerry that you saw the show. And man, I don't know how to thank you for taking the time to be on with us. I hope you'll come back in a few months and share what's going on down there with our listeners.
We'd love to, Mike. And anytime you want, we're here for you. You're constantly my guest whenever you want to be here. I love to see it. You've got a great energy, and you're an amazing cat dude. And we're doing it together. I like it.
Well, I'll be hopefully in the near future, I'll be your neighbor down there in Columbia. We'll have our center going strong, and
I would love that.
And
I'll come to your center.
Okay, perfect. I love it. All right, my friend. God bless. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for everything.
See you, Jerry. Ciao. Okay, so folks, once again, I mean, we've had two great guests today. Courtney Hale, the great shaman out of Albuquerque. I hope you explore what she's doing. And of course, Jerry Powell down there in Rythmia in Costa Rica with the plant medicine. And wow, I mean, guys, this stuff's been around forever. There's a reason that it works. There's a reason it heals people. So before I go, I just want to tell you next week, noon to 2 Pacific, we have another great show, two great, amazing guests. And I just want you to know that this show is sponsored by The Creation Frequency, which is a book I wrote that you can get on Amazon. And we pay for this show and everything we're doing here through selling the online course. So it's $397. And if you use promo radio, all caps, RADIO, all caps, you can get the course for $197. And then we take $100 of that money and we donate it to our nonprofit, which is the Love for Margo Foundation and Margo's Community Center, and where we work with women with cancer and we work with youth that are coming out of foster care or juvenile delinquency to make the world a better place. So support, this is a way you can support our show, so we can keep bringing this to you and support the work that we're doing in the community, especially with these young kids. We're teaching them how to get real jobs, go out and become real citizens, and they're coming out of a difficult situation. So if you have a big heart to help people and you want to be blessed beyond your wildest imagination by sharing your gifts and giving to others, we encourage you to buy the online course. It's only $197, and we'll donate $100 in your name to the Love for Margo Foundation. Until next week, folks, go out and make it the best day of your life.